This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Denying Big Macs as a tool of foreign policy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and the economy. The price of natural gas in Europe moved upward today after Ukraine hinted it could someday stop Russian gas from being shipped across its territory to Western Europe. Russia's state-run gas company Gazprom also has the ability to cut off Ukraine, ostensibly for all of Ukraine's unpaid gas bills. But analysts say this is an expression of the flaring dispute between Moscow and Kiev and beyond as the U.S. and Russia, and I should say the U.S. and Europe, hit Russia with sanctions for its support of Russian separatists in Ukraine. These tensions also seem to be touching the fast food industry, where Russian authorities have just closed down 4 McDonald's outlets in Moscow, citing health concerns. The BBC's Daniel Sanford joins us from Moscow. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here in New York, the health department's constantly closing down restaurants. It's not seen as an international incident, but these McDonald's, it's different.
It is, and that's become a recognized feature of international disputes, that when Russia falls out with a country, then at the same time, suddenly strange sanitary problems appear with that country's goods. For example, during the Georgian War, it was wine and mineral water that got banned. In previous disputes with Ukraine, it's been Ukrainian cheese. The immediate assumption by everybody was that this was a political maneuver in order to try and put a bit of extra pressure on America and the international community.
Staying on the subject of Russia-Ukraine for a moment, we've just emerged from a period where natural gas prices in Europe were quite low, summer months, demand was down. They're trending upward. That must be connected to the situation in Ukraine.
Yeah, potentially there is a huge natural gas problem brewing in Europe this winter, because 50% of all the gas which comes from Russia to Europe comes through Ukraine. And obviously there's a small-scale war going on in eastern Ukraine between the Ukrainian government and effectively Russian proxies. And so either side could at any point turn off the tap, as it were, and that's going to give big problems to countries like Germany, like Italy, who rely on the transit through Ukraine.
The BBC's Daniel Sanford in Moscow, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Checking the numbers, the 100-share index in London is up 0.25% at the moment. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also up, but the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong fell 0.67%. Amid the ongoing story of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa and its shocking human cost, an update now on the economies of the countries most acutely affected, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia. Here's reporter Kate Davidson.
Ebola's economic harm is both micro and macro. J. Peter Pham with the Atlantic Council says it starts small.
Shop vendors, stalls that are the basis of the economy for ordinary people in these countries are affected by curfews, nighttime closings.
Add in border closings and flight cancellations. Contractors with the mining company ArcelorMittal declared an act of God and left Liberia. Charles Laurie with the global risk consultancy Maplecroft says workers are reluctant to
participate in jobs where large numbers of people are collecting at any one given time.
And this adds up. An initial World Bank IMF projection said Guinea could lose a full percentage point of GDP growth. Laurie says the region's poverty means it's heavily reliant on international aid to shore up health infrastructure. Governments are also selling bonds.
Again, these countries are extremely poor, so borrowing money is not much of a long-term solution.
I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. By Reputation.com, advising that people should check their online search results because search results define you or your business. Learn more at Reputation.com. And by UCLA Anderson School of Management, where students and executives learn to think in the next, anderson.ucla.edu.
For-profit colleges are often seen as focusing on the practical. Business degrees come to mind, or training medical assistants. But one for-profit university based in Savannah, Georgia, is venturing into more rarefied air, offering degrees in theology for aspiring clergy. Sarah McCammon reports from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
At South University in Savannah, a handful of students are starting classes toward a new Doctor of Ministry degree.
You can't treat people as though they're all the same. In ministry, we have to take each person on their own.
Dr. Rob Redman is dean of the new College of Theology at South University. This pilot class of four students includes Gregory Kinsey. He'll make the 90-minute trip to Savannah from Green Pond, South Carolina, several times a year and do the rest from home. Kinsey says he's been a pastor in the African Methodist Episcopal Church for 15 years, and he has another job.
I'm bivocational, which I do work in school system as an administrator, but I just wanted to enhance my ministry.
Kinsey says he likes the fact that this theology program draws students from a variety of denominations. Rob Redman says a for-profit college like his can also operate more efficiently with fewer faculty and more practical classes like counseling instead of biblical Greek. And Redman says most seminaries depend on the whims of donors.
There's something kind of broken in traditional theological education. So it seems like now is a good time for a different model. I think the for-profit model points the way forward.
At close to $50,000, the Doctor of Ministry degree at South University costs about the same as many nonprofit seminaries.
I don't think there's enough money in theological education for a whole lot of providers to be able to do it and to make money at it.
That's Daniel Aylshire of the Association of Theological Schools in the United States and Canada. He's also skeptical whether a largely online school can give pastors in training enough personal attention. But Aylshire acknowledges many seminaries are struggling with funding as church attendance declines.
There may be some niche programs and markets that might be able to work that out as long as there aren't too many competitors.
South University is taking its theology program into several new markets. It launches online next month and at campuses in five more cities in October. In Savannah, Georgia, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Company failed to follow some securities regulations, and the conglomerate has now agreed to settle the case for $896,000. To raise the money, I just calculated Berkshire could sell just five of its enormous Class A shares, which are trading at $202,000 these days, and have money left over. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Quinoa, pomegranates, and yes, kale. Superfoods that will, in theory, keep you healthy.
As much as people believe in the power of food, half of people surveyed said that they weren't willing to give up taste for health.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What is the tastiest of them all? We'll tell you next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.